While Seattle continues to struggle with affordable housing, some people point to another metro area as a model of affordability, the Twin Cities in Minnesota. A recent piece in The Atlantic magazine says no other American city mixes affordability, opportunity, and wealth so well. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. His article is called The Miracle of Minneapolis. Thompson says a lot of the Twin Cities' success simply has to do with its geography.
Minneapolis-St. Paul is lucky in that if you look at the swath of land between, say, Iowa and Washington, there are only maybe two or three major cities competing for that regional talent. You've got Minneapolis-St. Paul on one end, and then you guys, Seattle, at the other end. Mm-hmm. And in the middle, you have all of these states without a large major city with international business. And so it considers itself somewhat a talent magnet and is somewhat geographically blessed in this way. It can't control that. What it can control, however, is policy. And its policy has explicitly aimed to share tax resources between wealthy areas of the city and less rich areas of the city. This is a rather revolutionary and innovative idea that goes by the rather unsexy name of fiscal equalization, which essentially means socialism light. You take 50% of the growth of business income taxes, and you put it into a regional pool and you distribute it somewhat progressively so that no part of the city falls too far behind the other. So this policy of explicitly sharing tax resources and real estate, I think, has helped the city become not only rich and successful, but also more relatively affordable than similarly rich cities.
Well, conversely, you write that Minneapolis itself has been unusually successful in preventing ghettos from forming. So they've got this fiscal equalization, but then how do they prevent a blighted area from coming up or a poor neighborhood?
So there were actually two policies that were considerably important in the 1970s and 1980s. One was this fiscal equalization policy. That is the policy of spreading the wealth, so to speak, spreading tax revenue around the city. The other was a rather deliberate attempt to build affordable housing close to richer areas of the city so that lower income people had better access to jobs. This is a policy that the experts that I talked to said was extremely successful for a long time, but that the city has somewhat gone away from in the last 15 years or so. And I think that every city in America should learn the lesson of the Twin Cities, and that includes, in fact, today's Minneapolis-St. Paul.
I'm talking with Derek Thompson. He's senior editor at The Atlantic, and his recent article is called The Miracle of Minneapolis, but it is not a candidate for sainthood quite yet. According to a report that came out last month, the state of Minnesota has the largest financial gap in the country between whites and minorities. And so some people might say that that miracle in your title really is about a miracle for the white people in Minnesota. What's your response?
I would say that the people that I talked to noted that you do have pockets of poverty congealing in the Twin Cities area, and I think that these pockets of poverty show up in the achievement gaps that you see in white versus black student test scores in the Twin Cities area. This is a serious problem, and it goes to the issue of, can the next generation of Twin Cities residents have the same remarkable record of upward mobility that the last generation had? That's an important thing to keep our eye on. But this article was specifically trying to answer a slightly different question. The question being, why is it that all the best cities for upward mobility are on the coasts and are unaffordable, and all the most affordable cities are strewn about the Rust Belt and they're not good for upward mobility? This is a paradox for which Minneapolis-St. Paul seemed to be a sparkling exception. And I wanted to figure out what had made it exceptional in the last generation.
So here in Seattle, one of those wealthy coastal cities, we are struggling to deal with ensuring that there's an affordable stock of housing for the residents who aren't among the top 1%. So what lessons can cities like ours learn from Minneapolis-St. Paul?
I think one clear lesson is that there is, in a lot of rich cities, a short-term aversion to building more housing stock around where rich people live, because rich people who have a vote, who have power, who have the ear of elected representatives will say, we don't want our investment being devalued by the building of all this additional housing stock, which will depreciate this house that we own or this condo that we own. This is a clear, an obvious short-term worry. And so I think the lesson here is that good municipal leadership can overcome this short-termism and persuade, basically force richer residents to suck it up, essentially, and allow more affordable housing to be built near to the commercial hubs of these cities.
Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic Magazine. His recent article is called The Miracle of Minneapolis.